Hi, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we're playing through The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, as you probably know, being this far in. But in our last episode, we took one of our first detour in this section. For our second detour, we decided to go into the forest and see what is waiting for us there.
Faff about.
You have to specify the forest we visited, because there are many places labeled forest.
The Great Hyrule Forest.
There you go.
The Korok Forest is, I believe, what we said in the previous episode.
Yeah, Lost Woods.
Great Deku Tree.
Typhlo Ruin Region.
Mm-hmm. All of those things are contained in this region. I know when we first said this, I completely forgot where this was and thought it was the east of Death Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up just floating around for a while and was just like, I'm not seeing any greenery here. It's actually more mountains. And eventually was like, right, it's that thing covered in smog, of course.
Mm-hmm. Evil, evil smog.
Jeremy comes back and is like, there's so much lava in the forest. Why is there so much lava in the forest?
What happened here?
Things are really different in this game. I went to the tower here because it's basically in the ruins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's just that one researcher in the corner, and I'm like, buddy, you and I have the same idea. What's going on?
Well, okay, let's talk about that. So when you talk to him, he brings up these two slabs that he found. I think it's very clear that he's going to find more slabs when we unlock more temples. But I tried doing one of them where they said the dragon that protects Death Mountain used the power of the... It was using the electricity attack is what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I found the dragon, and at some point it goes down into the depths. So I was like, this is where I could hit its tail with some electricity. The other issue to worry about is that when you get close to this one, it burns the air around you and is constantly killing you if you don't have armor that specifically stops hot air and everything, which I don't at this point. So I wasted a lot of health and still just couldn't get her to like actually hit him. Also, I kept running into an issue where I would activate her electricity ability and then she would just stop. And it was very annoying.
If you drop off of something or...
I felt like maybe I was moving around on a different elevated area or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a rune or an arm power. It just turns off if you drop off something.
Not always.
Not always.
Riju's ability is just jank. That's what it
I'm
is.
I'm not a fan. I'm not
Riju's
a fan of the mechanic.
Riju's just not as
like
reliable as Tulin, and I don't know why we bothered, frankly.
Yeah. It doesn't have to do with you dropping. I think it has to do with whether or not she drops or gets interrupted.
And she runs around a lot.
Yeah. And the worst thing is that as soon as, like, you have to use her in what I call the black dynamite scenario. Like, you have to start that before you get in the room.
Yes, you do.
I'm glad Brian at least has seen that movie.
That's my favorite line in that movie.
So you have to, like... be like, all right, I'm going to fight somebody in the next 10 seconds. I'm going to charge this up, and then I'm just not going to depend on using it for the rest of the battle. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you use it the first time, she just runs headlong into the middle of a group of enemies, and you can't stand next to her to activate it.
Yep. Yeah.
There's
no way to pop that.
I do have to say, in our in-between period here, I guess I'll say it in a little bit. I found that Colosseum that Brian was talking about. It's full of
with all the Lionels?
Yeah, with all the Lionels.
Yeah, the one I gave up on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gave up on it too for now. I'm going to come back to it.
I have great news. I know how to cheese it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can ascend up in between the different Lionel fights. You don't have to stay there. And as long as you don't leave the depths and don't go too and don't like warp at all, you can walk back to a light route, let all your gloom go away, reheal, restock, and then go back.
Okay.
Okay.
It was great. Works out.
That's what I do after every blood moon. And so I go down and kill those five guys real quick. And I still haven't done it without getting hit, but it's usually the guy with the rocks at the end.
Ooh.
So I'm trying to do it
hitless.
Look
at Brian over here.
But I need the gear, man.
I just did it once. I don't plan on doing it like hardly ever again, but I did it. I just needed some horns. So, you know.
It's like they've all gathered in one. Yeah. They've all gathered in one place for me. It's great.
Before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about this, about getting materials and everything. And I'll just say, for whatever reason, I don't want to go harvest materials. Like, what I've been interested in is every once in a while being like, let's go see what the fairy can do for me. And then that's what I'll upgrade. And then that's how my new play style is whatever the dice deal me. Right. Mm. Like just, let's just see what I have done this far. It's just more of a report of what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, at the same time I will probably at some point want to fully max everything out in this game.
Mm. Yeah.
That's how
I go back
usually
every couple
play.
Hours.
Usually I'm the same way. I'm just like, well, let's see what's up. What do I have? Can you do anything with this? But what I'm trying to do, I made a list of materials I need to gather, and it's for armor I don't wear. This is all a list of armor. I'm not regularly wearing stuff that I wouldn't normally wear, but I would like to have it fully upgraded just in case I need it.
Yeah, I haven't broken out the pen and the paper yet. Once I'm done with the Korok area region that we did, I was like, well, I still want to play this game, and I'm just going to revert to late stage Breath of the Wild, which is, what can I kill? Where are the things to kill? And also, I'll have stuff for the next time I go see Great Fairy.
How much destruction can I do in the next 10 minutes?
Yeah. And we were talking about getting Frox parts, which is fun if you haven't marked them, and the ones I have marked, like, I don't have a differentiator yet for my pins to be like, this is a Frox, this is a Lynel. They're just all skulls, and so I'm dancing around the depths looking for new Froxes, and I found that if you find a flat space on the map, like just a flat plane, go to that area and get up in a tree with the flat leaves. Don't look for the Frox. Look for the group of ore that they're usually around, like in a clearing. And because the Frox take forever to pop in. The draw distance on them is nuts. You have to be very close. So look for the ore that they're always nearby on, like, a flat spot.
I was just looking at my map, and Brian, you had said in a previous episode about using the hero's, what is it called? The hero's
path?
Hero's path. To tell you if you've been to a place, and I've been, and that's actually been super helpful for me rather than setting markers. Cause before I was setting a heart marker to say I completed a thing, doing that, I just pop it in like, yep, I went through there already. But I was just, it was just funny because I found one of the Yiga bases and it's just a straight line through it. Like, yeah. I know I finished it, but it's literally just a straight line through it of just being like, okay, go ahead, just pop him, walking on my way, not changing my path at all, into there and gone.
Yeah, sometimes the straight line is like, did I fly over that? But you're like, no, I know, I remember this one.
Yes.
I did it, it's done.
Typhlo Ruins, they're cool, but outside of those mysterious slabs and some enemies to fight, there's not really anything else, right?
Not really.
And Koroks, of course.
Constructs.
You have to rip the top off of the tower, but that's about it.
Oh, yeah. Like, why isn't this working?
I did that at the beginning. Like, I got into there flying, you know, came in from above and was just like, that thing's on top of there. I wonder what's up with that. Let's go ahead and just move it. Oh, that's what they wanted me to do. Okay, cool.
Is this the first time we've seen something blocking the top? I thought we had to, like...
This is the first time something has blocked the top. The other one that we had, there was a stick that fell and shut the door.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So, I expected them to do this more often, is what I'm thinking.
True, that's fair. As we're doing this, though, like, can we do a quick Korok check-in?
Oh, God.
Since we're around here, how many Koroks do you have? How many have you rescued? Not just marked and wandered away from. How many have you actually, like, assisted?
Actually rescued?
Yeah.
Let me look at my seeds.
This is the only flex I
have. Nope, that doesn't tell me.
Well.
You have to fast travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to fast travel.
I was like, eight? Eight seems low. No, it's just eight in eight? My pocket.
185.
Whew.
119.
Okay.
I have no idea. I do not have my Switch.
That's fair.
Got to bring your Switch when we record, BC. This is going to be a recurring thing.
Is there a cap on how many Koroks he will ask for?
Yes. After you max out your item slots, he just goes, try and find the rest of them. I know there's more out there, but that's it. And he goes,
kind of like with the bubble gem guy.
Yeah, he's like, if you find them all, I'll give you a special prize. I have a sneaking suspicion that's the same prize from Breath of the Wild. But I'm going to get it this time. I have 440. So far.
Nice.
So about half.
Yeah.
Right?
And I haven't fully cleared out the Gerudo Desert area or this region here that we just opened. So.
But yeah, the rest are done. How many? What's that number again that Hestu maxes out at?
421.
Okay.
It's like right now, like I turned in, I think, 12 today for another weapon slot. And I was like, I got to be close to the end with these, right? Like,
I think the next one's 25. Or,
like, the
it's 15 25
for one slot
for a weapon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
when you get to the when
or
you
17, do, 17, then 25.
Yeah. When you do the shield ones, it goes like five. And then, like, two sets of 10, and then, like, three sets of 15, and one set of 20, and that's it.
Okay. But well, you don't need the shields.
I mean, I like the shields. I have my utility shields now.
I have, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're really the whole thing that you need for them. It's just, like, one with rockets on it for me, one with ice, one with fire. Yeah, for sure. There is something that we can get in this region that will help you. That I got the Korok mask.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
That
was a
make a noise.
Disappointing fight.
Well, but yeah, because it was a Yiga fight, they're always disappointing.
True. Yeah.
It was a good time.
I was hoping for like not like Hyrule Warriors levels of Yiga, but like a bunch of Yiga or just something weird. And it was one boss Bokoblin.
Mm-hmm.
And like not even a silver one. Just like, that's it? Come on. Really?
I really liked the lead up to this because like I got down to this light route and I'm looking around and I was like, oh, Mighty Banana. And then I just looked up a little bit further
banana.
And I went, oh, a trail of Mighty Bananas.
Oh, bananas.
Don't mind if I do.
Ooh, piece of banana. Ooh, piece of banana.
Yeah, right, exactly. Literally for like 5 minutes, just like, woo.
And the whole time I was just like, I know what's going on right now. Let's go though.
I was like, thanks for the bananas.
It's just so funny whenever you just see the Yigas where you're just like, okay, guys, let's go ahead and get this done. We'll let you play your little game with me.
Well, there was a bad guy encampment nearby, mining for stuff, and I was like, I'm gonna go kill these guys real quick. I'll be right back to you, Yiga Nanners. Like, just sit over there.
But that is located underneath the Korok Forest. Mm. So one of the things that I want to talk about in this, and I guess I can just easily ask, is there a way to get into the Korok Forest without the depths?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't try and walk around like the outside like loop.
Uh-huh.
I went around westward and then I was like, do I need to go into the depths? And I think I asked Tegan because Tegan was streaming and she was just like, yeah, you got to go in the depths.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah. There is no way. So my path was I went in the regular way, right? And I went, great. Mm-hmm. And I started a little campfire, and I made my little torch, and I was like, I know exactly how this works. And I walked forward and was immediately just like, nope, back at the start. And I was like, hang on a sec. Did I go the wrong way?
I was like, ah, I bet, because I also got a torch out. I walked up the road from the Great Ferry and passed the chasm on the way. And I was like, look, I'll go down that someday. And but I had a torch out and was like, this time it's going to be the opposite way that the flame is blowing. Ha ha ha. No.
Right. No. Mm-mm. And then I was like, okay, am I not supposed to go through the arch this time? I'm supposed to go like around it. Went around it a couple times, nothing. And then I was like, oh, I know. I figured this out. I saw that chasm and I went, I figured this out. I'm going to drop in from the sky. And I went up into the Skylands. And from the sky, you can see one of the shrines. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, perfect. I'm just going to drop in there and then I'll make my fire and I'll do the whole thing. And I dropped in and I landed in front of the shrine and it told me the shrine name and then I got booted.
Because there is technically one way to dive in to this forest, just not when it's in its mad state.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I tried to do it in the mad state and it went, you found the shrine. Bye. I didn't get to touch it, so I couldn't warp to it or anything. It was just like, ha ha ha, bye. And I went, I gotta have to go to the depths.
I love running from the fog. Like, I would move a little bit, and then you would see the fog get thicker, and I'd turn around and run back. We're like, no, not that way. No, no, no. Okay, let's try this way here. No, 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 no. And, like, because you hear the music starts to swell up, too. There's, like, more of a, like, some Korok jingling going with it as well. And I love it, and it's just so funny to me. But I kept doing that, and then I was just like, okay, let's figure something else out. Let's do the depths. That's what I do anyway. Let's see if there's something in there for me.
I tried to hover bike in. That did not work. Because like even from the hover bike, you can see the shrines like as you're going across the water. And then I was like, okay, well maybe there's like an island in the river. And I was like, okay, well maybe it has something to do with that island. Mm-hmm. Went there, nothing. Then I was like, well maybe I just can walk up the side, and then that didn't work. And I was like, all right, well, then I have to walk around. Clearly, that didn't work.
Swim in the river, which is a good place to get stealth fin trout, which I definitely dynamited my way around the entire forest when I was bored one day and caught a bunch of fish. Almost like Jeremy, I don't know if listeners remember the way I got into the Lost Woods in Breath of the Wild was walking around until it tried to spawn me out and then putting a star there and being like, okay, there's a border because I didn't figure out the fire thing.
Really?
So I think my map still has a bunch of stars, which was my pathway through the forest.
Oh, that's wild. Because like in Breath of the Wild, the way it's set up is there's two torches. There's two like braziers, essentially. Braziers, whatever. And there's a torch leaning against it. And I went, all right. And I just picked it up and I went, okay, follow the torch. And as I'm walking around doing the torch thing, I'm noticing like, oh, the wind is shifting every time I have to turn. Easy. And I just like breezed through it the first time, which is why I walked in so confident this time, torch aloft, ready to go. It was just a mess.
Since we're talking about that, I did it a different way. I remember specifically going into there and you could see torches in the distance. And that is how I was able to do that. There's also something with the
eventually
trees.
Those go away, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think I thought I still... I'd have to go back and listen to it. I mean, that's 7 years ago. There was something else with the tree faces, too. But I can't remember what. They gave you a few hints on how to get through that originally. And this one, they were just like,
nope,
get out.
God depths it.
So yeah, the depths are pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you look towards the mountain and you're just like, I'm not supposed to go that way. But oh boy, that looks like something's happening.
Oh boy, it sure does.
Which chasm did you drop down through?
The one on the road. on the way. It goes by like the military training camp by the Great Ferry.
The closest one, I had already just teleported to another light route that I had, but there was the Elma Knolls is probably the closest one I would say for that. I did have to go out of the boundaries for a second to curl around to get into the entrance of it there, going that way. But, you know, I didn't do anything else there. I just, you know, walked around and outside of it for a few minutes.
Yeah, I went in on, it was a chasm. It might be the one you're talking about. It was near a shrine, and it was like in the mountain, like in a mountain range or ridge.
The Drennen Highlands one.
Yeah, and then there's like an obsidian frox, like right there when you get down.
I was like, "Hi." Yep.
That was a good time.
And then, if the frox wasn't enough,
yeah, and then there's lava everywhere.
See, I ran into some hands.
Oh.
In the depths?
In the depths. Not in the spot we're heading to. In the depths themselves.
I don't think I've dealt with hands in the depths.
Huh. Yes. I don't think I had either. And was just like, oh, you're here.
Yeah. I found some hands in the depths in the, like, the grove part, in the forest part of the depths here. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't know why you're here. I haven't seen you before. And I was tried to kill them, and I didn't do it fast enough, but also it kept getting stuck on stuff. So we couldn't, they couldn't get to me. And so they ended up despawning before I got like through the fight, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, because it's just sort of wasting materials anyway.
Mm-hmm. I took care of them. At this point, it's not too much of an issue fighting the hands in open terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Open terrain.
We'll circle back around to talk hand battles in a bit.
I just assume that going down to the depths, that there's going to be a spot where where one of those columns that brings you all the way back up.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I had that thought, I just started giggling like an idiot. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so cool.
So yeah, we go down to the depths. You find a little spot in there that you can zoop up with your ascend. And that just takes you right in front of the Great Deku Tree. And let's go ahead and take a break here. When we get back, we'll explore more of the Deku Tree.
Just a quick aside, did you all not have to deal with, like, the air being on fire?
In the way I came through, no.
Oh.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I maybe just didn't get close enough.
Along, like, this side over here.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I also dealt with the air being on fire. I flew through it, and I just ate a bunch of food on my little boat.
Okay, yeah, because I had to. I tried to fly, and then I lost my my hover bike, and then I had to basically walk through there. And Tegan, I have half as many hearts as you do.
Yeah. It was rough when I did it, and I had like a bunch of food on me that was like full hearts plus four or whatever. So I can't imagine. Yikes. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Jeremy. Should have said that before you said the break thing.
Hey, you know what? If you didn't notice, we're back now. I'm going to leave that part in. So, we are in the Deku Forest, and
all our friends are here,
but they are not talking to us.
They're a little sad.
They're not our friends,
but they're still
anymore.
There.
They just stand sad. There's no little fun little jingles. There's no cute little music. It's so melancholy and just like they're all like zoning out. I don't know what's wrong with them.
They're zoning out.
It's like a Scandinavian horror film.
Now we get into there and we can wander around a bit. Do any of them say anything to us though, or are they all silent?
Not that I saw.
They are all silent, and they are all standing, and they are all facing the same direction.
Oh.
Which was really freaky. And, like, because normally they'll, like, twist, turn, like, as you're wandering around, or, like, they'll look at other Koroks that, like, pop up and vanish again. But they were all standing, staring, like, slightly down, but away from the Deku Tree. And I was like, what is going on here? Are we good?
I like scrolling through my screenshots on my Switch because it's like, okay, Zelda, 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 Thigh Rider playing Ring Fit Adventure. Zelda, Zelda, Zelda. Brian, you were going to say something?
I went inside the Deku Tree real quick just to look around, and I figured I knew what was up, but I still went and tried to talk to the Deku Tree anyway before... Just to see if he would say, because he does tell, he does basically give you the, oh, my stomach hurts.
Tummy, I am suffering from tummy hurty disease. Please do something about it.
Think of Ocarina.
Yeah, I had a big grin on my face when I realized going into there, where I was like, oh, we're going to go into the Great Deku Tree again. Oh, is this going to be like a dungeon? It's not. But in that moment, I was very excited.
I figured it was just a chasm, but like just a permanent grin on my face this entire thing.
I was waiting for Goma to show up. That was what I was certain was going to be down there.
Mm-hmm. I wish there were Gomas in this game.
I also was thinking giant spider. I didn't think like everything bad, you know, but like with the way that we've had like these large monsters for like the sage temple fights, I was like, ooh, wouldn't it be cool if we had like a smaller large monster for this fight, like inside the tree? That'd be neat, you know,
that now shows up on the map from time to time.
Yeah, like, exactly,
boss thing. I definitely wasn't expecting close quarters hands fight. Ooh.
So that's what we get here.
Hand to hand, close quarters, hand to hand combat.
Ten good. Hands enter, two hands leave.
Yeah, we get down there and we have another. Gloom Master. I don't know. Was there another term that they had for these things? I guess, has anyone taken a picture of them? Tegan,
you're a photographer. You can't take a picture of the hands. My hands will not let you photograph them. I can't photograph the hands. I've tried multiple times from various angles, eyes up, eyes down, like lurking around, the whole thing. They will not allow me to photograph them.
So they're also vampires.
They're also vampires. If only we weren't using silver for the photography.
Do they not show up, or do they just
there's just no box
vanish away?
There's just no box for like that'll go around them.
No, you can't classify them.
Yeah, like the Evermean, the trees and stuff. The Evermeans, like they get that like bracket around them that says like this is what it is, and that says the name above it. It doesn't do that for the Gloom Hands. It's just there they go. You know, that's it.
But yeah, we had spoken about this before, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we did. And then Brian, you went away. You took your headphones off, I think, when we actually talked about it on the recording.
Ah, yes.
But this is, I had said multiple times, it felt like they didn't want us to, they didn't expect us to get to the second phase with the Gloom Hands, up until this point, right?
Mm-hmm. Based on the rewards.
Yeah.
Based on the rewards, based on the fact that it's Ganon. Like, we have a Shadow Ganon,
Ganon, even.
Yes.
Phantom Ganon.
You can't take a photo of Phantom Ganon. You can't take a photo of the hands.
He's got a name. It's at the top of the screen.
Yeah.
Hands do not.
Hands do not.
I just think it's strange that this character who, like, out of order, we don't know who this person is, right? And then suddenly they're just a recurring character in here. I feel like story-wise it might make more sense. Maybe we'll get a memory that involves Ganon going to the Lost Woods and doing something there. Maybe something. Who knows?
Well, I think it's more that just the gloom is clearly an extension of Ganon's power, mm-hmm. or the Demon King's power.
Yes,
so it makes sense that there be, like, if this is gloom manifest, it's like just a representation of Ganon.
Yeah,
that's fair. Sure. It's an extension of the beast. I see.
I get that. Yeah.
I don't like it, but I get it.
Now, BC, had you successfully beaten the hands before this?
I had killed the hands. I had not killed Phantom Ganon, and okay. I had also never fought the hands in close combat on flat ground. I was always slightly elevated or far enough away that I could just pelt them with bomb arrows, and then Ganon showed up.
Or far enough away that I could, all the bomb arrows in the world could not hit me back.
Mm-hmm.
There is, that was the problem I had with this one. Yeah. I wasn't even using the arrows, I was just chucking them. Mm-hmm. But then I would still keep knocking myself back and taking damage from it. But,
And I had also just, I literally used all my healing items. Or the vast majority of my healing items walking through Lava Town.
Right, yeah. Lava Town.
And so I drop in, and I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. It's like, oh, it's the hands. They're right. I was like, the gloom on the ground is moving, and I turn around, and the hands are there, and I have, like, no healing items. And I get to the Phantom Ganon part, and... like, I die, and then the save reloads, and the save is in the room. I'm like, oh, that's
not gonna
fun.
Be the infinite loop from hell.
Oh, no. See,
but you did it.
Barely. How was the fight overall? Like, for everybody?
This was the easiest battle against the Gloom Hands for me.
Okay.
This was the easiest battle against Phantom Ganon for me.
Right. Okay.
Like, for whatever reason, every hit that each of my hit took like a fifth of his health off.
Okay.
And so it was just like, okay, I'm just overpowered for this version of him. Yeah. I've fought harder ones, although I am stronger, you know, obviously.
Right.
You get stronger as the game goes on.
Yeah.
But this was nothing.
So he's no problem at this point.
Okay.
it's just not getting mobbed by hands for me.
Mm. Yes.
That comes down to, you know, really what the fight hangs on.
Mm. Okay.
I think the weird thing for me, and I think I said this before, is I still, or maybe I said this about the Gloom Lynels, I still don't understand exactly when I should be
dodging
and flurry rushing. Because there are times where it's like, oh, it seems like it should have happened. And then other times where I'm like, really? Now? That counts?
That's definitely a thing.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. For this one, so I've attempted to fight one other Phantom Ganon. And that Phantom Ganon, when he hit me, did 5 hearts of damage, right? And this Phantom Ganon, when he hit me, did 1/4 heart of damage. And it's not like my gear was that good. Like, the difference in the gear, I don't think is that. I think this is just a tutorial Phantom Ganon for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, very specifically, this Phantom Ganon is supposed to be the first Phantom Ganon you fight. And also, he's a pushover, essentially.
Or at least the first one you kill.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's, I think it's the pot. Yes. Maybe not the first. It's not going to be the first time you come across the hands. But they expect you to not, like I had said before, they didn't expect you to be strong enough and to be able to be resilient enough to kill them to make Phantom Ganon appear.
That's fair.
But because these are the only mandatory hands or handatories, they make it a little bit easier.
They made it a lot easier. I like steeled myself. I paused my game. I'm like sitting on that ledge, the one ledge, you know, in the whole thing. I hear them going underneath me, and I'm just like, all right, this is it. This is the moment. You've been training for this. You have two sages with you. You can do this.
You can.
And then it was nothing. And I was like, I got worried for no reason.
I mean, it's creepy. You know, you're falling far only to end up in this small close quarters area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
What's going to be down here?
Yeah, one of the creepiest battles that we've had to deal with consistently in this game appear.
Mandatory Ganon hands.
Yes.
So what do you do outside of bombs? Like
bombs.
I don't understand the question.
That's
me. Pick me.
Triple
me.
Shot bow.
Please, Tegan, in the front.
Dazzle fruit.
Oh yeah. Oh. I sometimes do that since Tegan told us about
if
that.
If you dazzle fruit right. them, they all shoot up like this, and like if they're holding a sage, they'll drop the sage. Also,
oh, okay.
I didn't know they would grab sages.
Yeah, Riju got
them grabbing terrifying. Sages is great because yeah. it means they're not grabbing me.
Right, exactly. Like Riju got, and I threw I'd thrown a dazzle fruit at the same time, and it dropped her. And then I ran through them and lobbed a bomb at them because at that point I was far enough away that it wasn't an issue, and I could activate her at the same time. So when I launched my bomb arrow, they also got electrocuted.
Jeremy, like just in general, not necessarily hands. Have you seen one of your sages like got before? Because they will just get wiped out.
No.
Oh yeah. Like if I'm fighting a Talos or something, and it just swings, like they go flying off the screen. It's great.
The ragdoll physics on them is top notch. 10 out of 10.
I have
ragdolls.
No idea. That's great.
Fighting a Gliok and they do the wing gust, and like all three of my guys just go flying backwards.
So we finish that up. We go back up. Now, I don't know. I mean, I teleported back because there's a shrine just outside of Deku Tree. And that's the one I use.
Yes.
I ascended through the mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
All
which I wish
up?
I realized the mushrooms were there beforehand, because I would have just ascended onto them and shot arrows down.
Yeah.
It doesn't help with Ganon, but it does help with the gloom hands.
But we get
back
up
the
there.
Heck out of here. I'm surprised you could ascend.
Yeah, you can ascend up like a certain level, and then there's like a notch in the tree that you can ascend up the rest of the way.
Okay.
They had to get their money's worth on that ascend technology.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just surprised you could ascend out of the depths in a spot that wasn't one of those special construction pillars.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So we get back up there, and the Koroks are talking again. They're all happy. Everything's back to normal.
Hi,
here.
Guys.
They've already set up shop.
We've apparently been down there for a while, and they were just like, okay, yeah, I guess we're all good now. Let's get back. Who did that? Was it? No. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Hestu's here?
Yeah.
Hestu is here? Yes.
He just showed up. He's just like, wow, home is great again. Like, and that just makes me feel funny, because like that means he wasn't in Kokiri Forest when everything went bad and just went, I don't feel like going home. I want to imagine that he like walked up there and went, that looks weird, not going in there, and just left. The
well,
Koroks will
like
figure it out.
Because one of the Koroks says, oh, now that like everything's normal again, I could come back home. I think that's one of the first one I talked to was like, yeah, like I can come back here now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they were trapped inside of there as well. Like the smog that was keeping us out was also keeping them in.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they needed to go and explore and hide in places for us to find them. If we go and talk to the Deku Tree, we get a cutscene where they bring up about how the last time we were here was to pick up the Master Sword to apparently go underneath the castle, like we did at the beginning of the game. They also talk about how it being put in the pedestal healed the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And that the sword's its greatest ability is that it can heal and continuously get stronger.
Hi, Fee.
This is...
As long as it's bathed in sacred light, it's the specific caveat. Has to be bathed in sacred light in order for it to heal and get stronger.
And then Fee can work out.
Yeah, and then Fee can do her little montage.
Get buff. Yes.
And she did her little meep, meep, you know, her little sound. And I was just like,
she
my
will not shut up through a few of these cutscenes. Yeah.
I love her. That's my girl.
They also talk about the going and finding the sword. Mm-hmm. We're given a quest, and they even mention about how it's weird because it seems like it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it. They say, I can place it on your marker so you can sense the energy of where it is. But they don't tell you anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, okay, so I went and got the sword first, then saw the tear that kind of explained, in a way, some things.
I saw the
tear first.
Listen. I need you to understand that
this was
my
Tegan has a story.
My playthrough of Ocarina of Tears of the Kingdom was a paid actor. It was perfect. So I went.
It can't get any better than this.
It can't. I went. Ah, it's all the way over in Rito Village. Okay. Well, I'm gonna wander over here and I'm gonna see if I can get up high enough to, you know, so it like when it loops back around, like I'll be able to figure out what this thing is on, right? And I climbed up. I found a little person in the mountains who's like, oh, there's a geoglyph nearby. And I was like, yeah, is that thing over there? And then I was like, hang on, I gotta ask everybody if we're supposed to watch the geoglyph. And you said yes. So I went back over to the geoglyph and I watched it. And then as soon as the thing ended, she was right above me. She was right there.
Well, and like the slow realization of that memory.
I was just like, oh, like, no.
It just dawned on you.
Oh,
like,
no.
What was happening?
Like, all in the same moment. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, oh, no. No. And I look up and I was like, she's right here.
And it's
no.
just right there. Come
okay,
on up.
Well, let's. Okay, hang on.
No.
Let's brace the listeners
no,
on
listen,
this.
Listen, it was too good.
We're going to talk about memory 15. So, something to keep in mind. From here, if you don't want to get spoiled, skip ahead 5 minutes.
Skip ahead 5 years. I'm going to be talking about this for the rest of my life.
So this memory was a little weird because it did a bunch of flashbacks to scenes that we haven't seen yet.
Either, yes.
I believe. Because we see Mineru in one of these little flashbacks here, but we haven't actually seen the true memory with her in it. We don't know who she is other than Rauru's sister. We don't know like what her deal is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
things just seem to be bad.
We also get a couple of the audio clips that were in the trailer in this as well. Zelda saying she doesn't believe we're going to be able to stop this creature. And also we get at the very end of it, her saying, Link, you need to come find me. But she starts hearing a noise, and this is where we saw before, when we were leaving the, Great Skylands, where we lost the Master Sword through a wormhole
in an orange light.
Whoopsies.
Yeah. She was being called by the light sound, by the sword. And she went up to there. And that's where the Master Sword appeared. She's very confused about what was going on. But the second the Master Sword was in her hands, Fi started talking. Just, we didn't hear her actual, we didn't see the words come up. The probability of all this, no. It was very much the Lassie sort of thing of like, what is it? Link's stuck in the future?
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's like in Venture Brothers when like something bad happens to Helper from a bad guy, and then the good guys show up and they're like, all right, oh, Helper, you're still put together. And he's like, like, okay, buddy, settle down. Like, okay, that sounds horrible. I'm sorry, Fee, that happened to you. Yeah,
but then we see Zelda say, I know what I have to do, and this is where we get a bunch of flashbacks. And Mineru says something about becoming a dragon.
An eternal dragon.
An immortal
dragon. Yeah. And so, am I missing anything else in this memory?
Look at how hard I can cry.
I want to say that I had forgotten completely about Fee and just like scrubbed that from my mind. So the entire time I was like, why is the Master Sword talking? Why can the Master Sword travel through time? It's like, oh yeah, there's a thing that lives inside the Master Sword and talks all the time.
What was the point of all that suffering you went through, BC?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think this means we just have to replay Skyward Sword. You just got to remember that stuff.
I don't know. That noise is burning in my brain, so. But yeah, it. I guess there's a lot of recap of there's got to be a reason you were sent to us, Zelda.
This is the most, like, Kingdom Hearts, Kojima, weird time paradox cutscene ever. Like, as soon as they were like, oh, well, the Master Sword came back in time to be bathed in sacred light to clearly gain power over time. And it's like, what? Why? This is...
But
we need a lot of time. It needs to cook for a while.
This recipe takes time. This doesn't make any sense.
We just did this in the last two games. The last two games.
But it's harder this time.
Well, and then it really got bathed in a seemingly a strong source of sacred light.
Yeah.
Bathed like in the source. Blood of it. Like Tegan said, when this scene was done for her, there happened to be a dragon flying above us that has a very similar color palette to Zelda.
I've been on this dragon. Did not pick it up.
Really?
Until,
not at all?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Are you serious right now?
Until this time I had to go, and I was like, oh.
Wait, did it have the sword in its head?
I didn't see the sword in its head. I didn't go all the way that far. I didn't get all the way up on its forehead.
Oh my god, you could have had the Master Sword this whole time!
I did not
know.
You would
have been like, for whatever reason, the Master Sword was just inside one of the dragons.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. So, here's the thing that I have noticed, right? This is where, like, I had a concern, a suspicion a while ago, where I was like, I have a thing, and I don't want to talk about it, because I don't know if I'm right or not, right? And it was after...
So this dragon does not have a name.
No, this dragon does not have a name, number one. Number two, do you remember all the way back in the Rito area when I got the full Frostbite set? And I was like, we were all like, this is Zonai armor, and this is so cool. And I said, the headdress looks like Nedra's.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? That's weird. And then I was sitting there, and like the more like memories we got where I saw the Zonai... And the more I looked at the dragons, I went, hang on. I don't like this. But like all the Zonai and all the dragons, they have these big like side ears, right? That like flap around as they're flying. And the light dragon didn't have that. And the light dragon looked suspiciously like that. The like quaff was just too suspicious. And I was like, I don't want this to be Zelda. I'm real upset if it's going to be Zelda. And it was Zelda.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so Zelda got turned into a dragon.
Zelda turned herself into a dragon.
Zelda turned herself into a dragon. And she had the Master Sword in her head. And we had to use this time... not max stamina, but we had to have at least a whole second ring filled in to hang on rodeo style to get this sword out. And then we do get a cutscene after we get the sword as well. Let me see, I had my screenshots of it here. That wasn't that. We just got taken up to the heavens, like even beyond where we thought we were before. Like now we are in the golden era or golden area
because
of the
Zelda,
clouds.
Because the light dragon has been, in order to get to it up until this point, like I had to fly as high as possible because it is just way up. It's the dragon that breaks the firmament that Jeremy was talking about at the beginning of the season.
Truth.
And so, yeah, it way up there, way up there.
But that would have been, see, I didn't have, I was able to get to it by using one of the launchers nearby up in the Rito section. That's where I found it. It happened to be flying by low enough.
Yeah. Now it's much lower.
After you,
I think after the quest starts.
After you get after the Deku Tree says like, oh, this is where it is. Then she drops down low enough that you can get up to her.
Yeah.
Like without too much trouble.
I actually, because she was in the Gerudo region for me. So I warped up to like the Death Star shrine. and I was like flying around on my hover bike. And I was like, it says she's nearby, but I don't see her. Because I was like, all right, this is the highest I know I can get. And I got to be like way up in the sky. And then I looked down and it's like, oh, like all the way
down there. Same thing happened to me. I went to the Death Star, could not find her, looked down. Oh, hi.
I love that, you know, the fact that they threw all this mechanical stuff in here. When we talk about the hover bike now, it's just so silly to me. When we're doing all this stuff like, oh, we got this magical dragon holds the power of light to do all that. And then you're just like, bing, bing. Like, I'm on my little bike here, bicycle just coming up next to him. Just like, hello, dragon. What are you doing today?
Pardon me, good madame. Like, might I borrow like some of your light scales?
Oh,
some
I think
French
you.
Film. Like, just coming by on a little bicycle.
Ciao.
Oh, yeah. And remember to, you know, loot everything on the dragon before you trigger this cutscene, because otherwise it just teleports you back up to the first Skyland. So.
Yeah, I didn't do it. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to spend some time hunting them dragons.
I was putting off the moment as long as possible. So I ran up that dragon a few times before I was like, okay.
I walked all the way back, and I was just like, what did they do to you?
What did you do?
Yeah, and watching Tegan, the more you think about it, like the more I'm just like, this is, they did you wrong,
it's
Zelda.
So sad. It's so sad.
And it's like, we're just like, can we go? Can we kill Rauru?
I'm gonna take this secret time stone, and I'm gonna become the Sage of Time, and I'm going back in time. I'm wiping out the Zonai myself. I'm the reason for their extinction. It's me. I'm the problem. I'm about to be a fierce deity.
Well, isn't becoming the dragon probably the only way that she could have survived to come back to the modern era?
I don't think so. She lived 100 years suspended in time fighting Calamity Ganon. Like,
maybe that was a one and done. Maybe you only get one.
Maybe she's still in there somewhere, you know? Like, maybe it'll be like we get to the end of this game and she comes out of the dragon light.
Yeah, it's maybe possible. It'll be like the last time that we sent Zelda back in time to be preserved for thousands of years to come back later and save the day.
This also like royally messes up timeline stuff.
I knew you were going to say it. Why do you bother, Tegan?
Listen, no one cares about this timeline like I do.
Nintendo royally messes up timeline
stuff. They do regularly. It drives me up a wall. It's like, they're like, okay, so it's the first king and queen of Hyrule, Sonya and Rauru, and Sonya has time magic, and Rauru has light magic, ooh, and Sonya senses a blood connection with Zelda, so, like, obviously she is, like, of their bloodline, ooh, cool, right? And then they don't have a kid that we've seen so far, and I don't know if we're gonna see a child of these two in the any of the cutscenes that we're getting, because that's not it. And then, like, they're like, well, we'll tell them that you're our distant relative, which isn't a lie, but also, like, how does the bloodline of Hyrule get started then? Because we saw Sonya get taken out by Ganon already. So
at least we think.
Rauru lays an egg. That's how it works.
Is Zelda her own ancestor?
Probably.
You're making some.
She couldn't.
There.
She can't have been her own ancestor. I know she can't have been her own ancestor though, because she's the Light Dragon, and if she doesn't have time to have a child between.
She's a career woman. Right? Like, you know, where's she going to find the time?
She's busy bathing a sword in sacred light. Where would she have the time to start the Kingdom of Hyrule, even though Sonya, she's in the first edition of the Kingdom of Hyrule? It's
Sonya and Raru's kids off at boarding school, and that's why we don't
see
their descendant. But their descendant exists.
We also don't know if Sonya is like dead.
We don't.
We don't. That's true.
We just know we're she's just having a bad time.
She's having a miserable time.
We're just going to have to piece together some more things and some other random clips that we'll see later.
I can't believe how many memories are left in 5 regions.
In between everything.
Like, there are 5 regions we haven't been to, and all of these memories are in there, and I want to see them.
Okay. Oh, see, now that you bring that up, I just remembered that, yeah, we did get a cutscene, and it's the final memory.
Yes.
I forgot to bring that up. So with
Zelda's
there,
wish.
Yeah, it was Zelda's wish. Zelda clutches the decayed Master Sword close to her chest and calls to Link, hoping that the sword, which she says she's suffusing with new power, can find a way to him somehow. So that's what happened when we got the sword.
I went through all 5 stages of grief on that stream. I'll include it's like a 25 minute section where I am just going through all 5 stages of grief. After this episode goes live, we'll post it somewhere, I'm sure, because I saved it as like a separate section of the entire stream. It's just me absolutely losing it. I cried real tears. I cried real, I would have sobbed real hard if I wasn't on stream. Like, I want everyone to know that I was so upset.
I'm sorry, Tegan.
Actually, it turns out Tears of the Kingdom is the worst Zelda game in the series. Thanks.
You heard it here first, folks, on Shadow of the Wild.
Official Shadow of the Wild stance.
I fought a King Gliok in the depths.
Yeah, in the Gliok den.
I still haven't found one of those.
You just got to go to the Gliok den.
It's called, go to the Gliok den.
I thought we were going
to... in this area?
Yeah, it's in this area.
In the depths.
How'd I miss this?
I don't know. Did you go north of the forest, of the Kokiri Forest?
I think so.
That was... Yeah, I was watching Tegan stream when she stumbled upon this. And I was just like, oh, is it like... Are you hunting for the frocks? I know there's an obsidian frocks around here. And it's like, oh, no, this is not that.
I thought it was going to be another, like, great mine, and then it said Gliok Den, and I went, maybe I should leave. And then someone in my stream was like, I'll follow you if you kill it. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm killing it.
I'll just say, it's not like a huge spoiler or anything. When you defeat it, you get a piece of the Twilight set. And I saw that and was like, what does it mean?
They need to put the pants over here.
They got to put the pants somewhere. But the thing is, in this region, in this den, you have statues of Zora, Rito, Goron, and Hylian,
Gerudo.
I guess. Gerudo.
That's the Gerudo statue for the mine.
Right. All facing the center. And so I was like, this place is important, right? And so they put a piece of the Twilight stuff in there. I was like, what does it mean?
What does it mean? Because
of all the things they could put in there.
The Twilight Link is like of the DLC set. Like, if I was going to put something in here, I would have put the Wind Waker set in here maybe. But like, there's this problem right now because like the Gerudo and the Rito, this is the first time they've existed in the same game.
Sure.
Because, like... So, like, Wind Waker and Twilight Link have met 3 of these 4 races, and just one of them has been missing from both games.
Okay. All right. I don't know. For whatever reason, that item made me think...
Mm-hmm.
It had a meaning behind
it. Did you take a picture of the statues?
No.
No one cares about Josh and research except me. I'm the only one who cares on this team.
Is Joshua the one getting the pictures?
Yeah.
I thought Robbie wanted
I didn't
the
know
pictures.
We had anything else for her.
Joshua wants the pictures of, she's been studying the pictures.
For the compendium?
No, they're not for the compendium. They're for her depths research.
She didn't ask me for a picture.
So if you bring her the Rito picture for the first time, she's like, oh, I'll do more research later, you know? And after we finished the Rito quest line, she asked us for another picture. And the next picture she asked us for was the Gerudo. And then we gave her the... And then if you go and you take a picture of the Gerudo statue, you can bring it back to her. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then now in this in-between part... she is actually, if you were going back to Lookout Landing and talking to her like you're supposed to, she asked you for
many
another
a time.
Picture, and if you have the Zora picture already, she'll be like, oh yeah, I wonder where that leads.
I guess, I never gave her a picture, but...
You just show them to her.
She's like, hey, there's a place over by the Zoras.
Yeah, you just do this. She goes, like this, and then you go like that. And she goes, oh okay. Yeah, and she like talks about it. And she was
like, I heard about Koga, and I was like, yeah, beat the crap out of him. Mm-hmm. Like, there's another one over here if you want.
Okay, I haven't had a blood moon since then. I'm going to go back to that section, and I'm going to go get pictures, okay?
Okay. I hope you get a blood moon right now.
Shut up. she hasn't. I've gone up and talked to her. She hasn't said anything else to me. Unless I just forgot and I don't have a quest line for her
either.
No,
she doesn't give you a quest line. She just is asking for if you find the time, but it's not even like it's not a quest the way that the other ones are quests. It's
be more.
How am I supposed to
be more assertive, right, Joshua?
It just feels like to me, it feels like she's not making an official request because her stuff isn't necessary. If you're already doing the exploration stuff, it's fine. But if you're not exploring the depths and you aren't sure where to go next, she's giving you a direction to head off. Each of the directions she sends you ends in a great mine and ends in one of the four regions where there's an issue happening.
Does she not realize that I'm helping out every single person I'm coming across?
Yeah.
I have time for her.
Right, exactly. No, well,
if I have time for Addison, I have time for her.
She's just a little kid and she doesn't know, she just doesn't want to take up too much of Mr. Hero's time, Mr. Swordsman. You're so busy, I understand, and I'm busy doing my research. So, like, maybe if you're doing research too, it's very cute. but that's why I was like, when I went back, I was like, oh, well, like, this stuff is telling me to go this way, but, like, Josh is telling us to go somewhere else, and nobody knew what I was talking about. And I'm like, she wanted a Zora picture, and I just happened to have it.
All she's asked for the last, 100 hours is go to the Zora statue mine region. And I'm like, I can't.
Did you take a picture of it? Yeah, exactly. Like, so you already had the other statue pictures then.
Oh, I don't.
You don't remember them.
Well, I think she only, I didn't give her a Rito statue.
It was the very first one you did. When we went down in the depths, it was our first quest.
I thought that,
quest.
That guy, those things were Ritos?
Yeah, those were Ritos.
Oh.
Yeah, they had wings.
They have a big beak in the front, and then it's just wings instead of arms.
I thought they were Zoni.
I know, right? No, those are Rito. Once you see all four of them together, it's very much I thought they were rats.
Yeah.
I was like, what are these rat men? Who knows? And then they're Rito statues. I get it now. It's very goofy.
Rats of the sky.
Yep.
Mm.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap this episode up. A lot happened for a detour episode for sure.
I mean, now we've got the Master Sword and we can attach stuff to it.
Yeah.
And it looks cool. Because when you first take it out,
absorb it?
Yeah, it absorbs it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It goes
But it looks cool when you first take it out. It'll look like whatever you attach to it, which if it's a Lynel horn or a Lynel blade, whatever piece, it looks cool as hell. And then it reverts to the Master Sword and it's got Zoni writing on it.
Yeah, it does
it's a light
silhouette of whatever the item is.
Okay.
It's very durable too, so. Yeah.
Cool. For our next episode, we had over in our Discord, we put it on another poll. Looked like Zora had won by a point, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm never
going
to get to go selfie with Jeffy, am I?
Eventually, soon. You'll do that. Don't worry.
We're almost there.
Hey, we said, no, it's fine. At this point, it doesn't matter. So what we're going to do, head towards the Zora's Domain, play up to, you know, I can't say for certain exactly what we're waiting on with that, but when it's very clear that we're heading towards a temple, go ahead and stop there. And then the following episode will be the temple episode. So go do all that. There's going to be plenty to explore in that region for sure. Get some new shrines, get some upgrades, go talk to some people, and then meet back here and we'll talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Hooray.